So good morning, everyone, to the meeting this morning. We're all looking forward to a fine discourse and later a Watchtower study as well. And so to get the morning started off right, we're going to have a song in prayer. The song chosen for today is song number 125, which is titled Happy Are the Merciful. That's song 125. Our Father in heaven, we want to be able to approach your heavenly throne in prayer, to be able to ask that your spirit be upon this meeting that we're going to have, to be with the speaker and as well as the Watchtower conductor. We appreciate so much that you continue to provide for us everything that we need. And so we take this information that's given to us through the faithful slave and to be able to have it not only be on our minds, but also on our hearts, to motivate us to be able to refine ourselves as Christians and to be able to stick closer to you and have a close friendship with you. Now, we know that sometimes there's difficulties that arise. Sometimes it could be within the family circle when sensitive issue as what the Watchtower will study will bring out, or it could be on a more grander scale as the natural disasters happening in parts of the world, even here in Canada, and the governments also trying to ban our literature in other parts. So Jehovah, this is a time of the end. So we do need your spirit to be not only upon us, but your worldwide brotherhood to be able to continue to guide us and help us and strengthen us as we go ahead into the new system soon. So I want to thank you for all these good things. We want to leave this meeting in your hands and we ask forgiveness for our sins. And we do all of this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have a fine talk to be able to look forward to. We have Brother Tiberish to be able to deliver that for us. So what's the theme? Well, the theme is, imitate the Father of tender mercies. Let's pay close attention to Brother Tiberish.
When hearing the word mercy, what comes to mind? You might think of a game that you used to play as a child. When two friends interlock their hands, they'll twist, bend, and turn until one of them can't take the pain anymore and yells mercy, the other one wins. We can take the look at the word mercy in a legal sense, where it could be understood to be leniency on part of a judge. So the judge might reduce or not even impose a wrongdoer the full punishment allowed under the law. Why so? Because the judge has shown mercy. It's all well and good to talk about the game mercy and to talk about the legal sense, but today we'll focus on what the Bible describes as mercy. We will consider the supreme example of mercy from our loving Father, Jehovah, and his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we'll see how we can apply it in our lives. So showing mercy requires two elements. First, it's showing, it's feeling the compassion, sympathy, or pity for a situation. The second is to go into action to provide the needed relief. I invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, verse 34, where we will see an example of mercy by Jesus. So turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 6, verse 34, where it reads, "Well, on getting out, he saw a large crowd, and he was moved with pity for them, because they were as sheep without a shepherd, and he started to teach them many things." If we look at the account here, Jesus was supposed to go rest with the apostles. But what happened? We see in the scripture, he was moved with pity. And then the second element, right? He went into action. Because of that, he took action by teaching them many things. Was Jesus upset that they had followed him and that he couldn't go rest? Not at all. He was touched. Jesus knew that mankind's greatest need was spiritual. They were sheep without a shepherd. His tender compassion was the motive for his teaching them many things. How loving. In the Bible, mercy most often refers to an active concern for others. Compassion that produces a rich crop of kindly deeds. One reference work defines mercy as a feeling of sorrow over someone's bad situation and trying to do something about it. So what's the key here again? If we go back to our two points, it's having that feeling of mercy and then taking action on that feeling by providing the needed relief. For example, if we see someone drowning, do we point at them and look and say, "Wow, they're having a bad day," and go on? No, we'll take action. We'll call out for help. We'll throw a life buoy, or we ourselves will jump in the water to save them. We'll go into action. So godly wisdom isn't heartless and simply knowledge. Rather, it's warm and heartfelt and sensitive. Now that we fully understand what mercy is, let's look at how we know that Jehovah is the source of tender mercy. I invite you to follow along as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Where it reads, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of tender mercy and the God of all comfort." This verse helps us understand that mercy is part of Jehovah's nature. His tender feelings are like a mother to a newborn child. When looking at this depiction, we know that this mother is focused. Her main goal is that child. That's how Jehovah's feelings are towards us. When looking at this depiction, we can think of what is said in Isaiah 49:15, where Jehovah says, quote, "I would never forget you," end quote. How comforting. You may ask, how does God comfort us and give us the courage to bear our pain? He does so mainly through his word, the Bible, and through the gift of prayer. Paul tells us that God lovingly gives us his word so that through the comfort from the scriptures, we might have hope. Additionally, through heartfelt prayer, we can come to experience the peace of God that excels all thought. If we go back to our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, we see that Jehovah is called the Father of tender mercy. The Greek word for tender mercy can convey the idea of feeling compassion for the suffering of others. One Bible reference work says that this term can be rendered feels pity or cares very much. So God's tender mercy moves him to action. How? Well, we know that today many are dealing with a lot of different trials. Perhaps some have lost their jobs. Some might be mourning the loss of loved ones, or others might be dealing with mental health struggles. But we can trust that Jehovah wants to hear our prayers. His line of communication with us are always open, day and night. Pray to him earnestly and have faith that he will help you to cope. We have also lovingly been provided with his word, the Bible. Under his direction, Jehovah lovingly has helped our brothers and sisters work very hard to provide the Bible in many languages. In fact, there are more than 281 languages available for the Bible on JW Library. Jehovah wants us to understand his word and to draw comfort from it. Paul refers to Jehovah in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, as the God of all comfort. Paul uses a word that is said to include the idea of consoling someone in trouble or sorrow and the idea of giving active help of encouragement. As the God of all comfort, Jehovah doesn't necessarily just, boom, make our problems disappear. Yet, of this, we can be sure. If we turn to him for comfort, he can fortify us to cope with any sort of trouble that life may bring. Such a compassionate God surely deserves our worship and praise. Jehovah dealt mercifully with the Israelites, and we can read about this in Psalms 78, verses 38 to 41. Let's read that together. So the book of Psalms 78, verses 38 to 41. It reads, "But he was merciful. He would forgive their error and not bring them to ruin. He often held back his anger instead of storing up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were flesh, a wind that blows past and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and made him feel hurt in the desert. Again and again, they put God to the test and they grieved the holy ones of Israel." So there's a lot to take in these few verses, right? Starting with verse 38. What did Jehovah do? He was merciful. After that, he held back his anger. After that, he remembered that they were dust and imperfect Yes, time and time again, the Israelites made Jehovah feel hurt. How did he react? Let's find out and read Judges chapter 2, verse 18. Judges 2:18 reads, whenever Jehovah did raise up judges for them, Jehovah would be with the judge and save them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For Jehovah was moved to pity over their groaning cause by those who oppressed them and those who were treating them abusively. A common word and theme that we see, right? Jehovah felt pity. And as mentioned, that pity moved him to action. Yes, Jehovah helped them with those who oppress them. He often was moved with pity when they cried out for help, even though their own mistakes had led them to the situation they were in. But is Jehovah's mercy and forgiveness limitless? Let's find out now in Hosea chapter 1, verse 6. Where it reads, she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And he told him, name her Leruhamah, for I will no longer show mercy to the house of Israel, because I will certainly drive them away. We can see in the footnote that the name Leruhamah means not shown mercy. If they would have shown repentance and would have shown it with their action, Jehovah would have extended his mercy. But they didn't. The 10 tribes of Israel had set up a calf worship so that the people wouldn't have to go to Judah to worship Jehovah at the temple of Jerusalem. Worship of the false god Baal became entrenched in Israel. Now we can look at the contrast of attitude with the example of David. He committed serious sins, but because of his repentant attitude, Jehovah forgave him. Perhaps another factor in Jehovah showing mercy to David was because David showed mercy towards Saul. Surely it's easier to show mercy to someone who shows mercy to others. When looking at this picture, we really see how David felt bad and was repentant of his actions. We see how he humbly responded to the correction also. As Jesus explained, Jehovah treats us the way we treat others. What a relief it is to know that Jehovah will forgive our sins. Even sins as serious as adultery or murder, just like David. He will do so if we have a forgiving spirit, if we confess our sins before him, and if we manifest a changed attitude toward our bad actions. So, a quick review on how Jehovah is the source of tender mercy. We know that he is the God of comfort, and he brought his comfort through the Bible and through prayer. And we have seen how he forgives freely if we have a changed attitude towards our bad actions. Now that we've looked into how Jehovah shows mercy, let's look into how Jesus perfectly imitated his Father. Throughout his lifetime, Jesus demonstrated why mercy is important and how to show it properly. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 13. So Matthew 9:13 reads, "Go then and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice, for I came to call not righteous people, but sinners." Jesus was telling us here that in order to maintain a good relationship with Jehovah, we need to show mercy. As the footnote explains, Jesus was teaching them not only to do the necessary sacrifices, but also they had to show mercy. Today, Jehovah expects us to show mercy to both new ones who have taken the truth and also those who have made mistakes. Note how the Apostle Paul linked being forgiving with imitating God. He said, "Become kind to one another, tenderly compassionate, freely forgiving one another, just as God also by Christ freely forgave you." In order to please Jehovah, our motives need to be pure. And Jesus left us with a great parable to highlight how we need to show mercy. Can you think of which one? What if I say Good Samaritan? Does that ring a bell? I think so, right? So Jesus talked about a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell victim to robbers that stripped him, beat him, leaving him half dead. In this account, a priest and a Levite traveled down that road, but sadly, they ignored him. Let's read what happened next. Please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 33 to 37. Where it reads, "But a certain Samaritan traveling the road came upon him, and at seeing him, he was moved with pity. So he approached him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Then he mounted him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend beside this, I will repay you when I return.' Who of these three seems to you to have made himself neighbor to the man who fell victim to the robber?" He said, "The one who acted mercifully towards him." Jesus then said to him, "Go and do the same yourself." So we can look at this depiction and then go through what the Samaritan do through these scriptures, right? First of all, verse 33, he was moved with pity. The first element, right? The feeling of compassion, sympathy, and pity of mercy. But he didn't stop there. He went to the second. He went into action, the second element, to provide the needed relief. So he bandaged the wounds. He poured oil and wine on it. Not only did that, but he also took the time to take care of him. Certainly, this wasn't in his schedule. And he didn't stop there. Once he was bandaged, he brought him to an inn, spent his own money on this stranger to make sure he was taken care of. Let's remember that at that time, Jews generally looked down upon Samaritans. Many Jews wouldn't accept a service from one. But in verse 36, the question is asked, who of these three seem to you to have made himself neighbor to the man who fell victim to the robbers? It was the one who acted mercifully. A true neighbor is someone who shows mercy at all times to everyone. Mercy isn't hindered by national, religious, or cultural barriers. Today, we're impartial to whom we preach. Jesus also showed us an example of mercy with the way he treated others. An example of this can be read in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 42. Let's turn there and read this together. The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 40 to 42 reads, "There also came to him a leper, pleading with him, even on bended knee, saying to him, 'If you just want to, you can make me clean.' At that, he was moved with pity, and he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I want to. Be made clean.' Immediately, the leprosy vanished from him and he became clean." Let's remember that lepers were not supposed to be around other people, let alone touch someone. But what did Jesus do? He was moved with pity. He stretched out his hand and touched him to heal him. And said to him, "I want to be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy vanished from him. Instead of sending the man away, Jesus dealt with the shunned man in a compassionate and dignified manner. Jesus saw a pitiful human who needed relief. His heart was stirred. Jesus turned his feeling of compassion into prompt action. He reached out, touched the leper, and healed him. Another way Jesus showed mercy was, as we saw in the introduction, he taught the people many things. Yes, this was his main focus on earth. Jesus is known as the great teacher. Jesus has shown us how to imitate his Father, with giving us a parable that we can follow and showing us mercy to whomever, it doesn't matter who, with the way we treat others and how we should treat them in a dignified way, and with his preaching work. Now let's see how we can continue to be merciful in imitation of Jehovah. Through Jesus, Jehovah told us something we should follow. Please follow along with me the reading of Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Where it reads, "Continue being merciful, just as your Father is merciful." So looking back at the scripture, did you notice why we need to show mercy? Because Jehovah is merciful to us time and time again. Yes, Jehovah wants us to respond to his mercy by being merciful to others. So let's look into ways how we can show mercy. As previously mentioned, Jehovah showed his mercy by freely forgiving. We saw his mercy when he forgave the Israelites time and time again, even though they made him feel hurt. And we talked about King David being forgiven for his grave sin. We can imitate that by us freely forgiving. Like mentioned before, it involves two steps: the feeling of compassion, pity, or sympathy, but also the action to provide the needed relief. So if we say we forgive someone, our actions should be reflecting our speech. Let's continue by turning our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This time we'll read verse 4, where it reads, "Who comforts us in all our trials, so that we may be able to comfort others in any sort of trials with the comfort that we received from God. So if we are alert and notice that a fellow believer is downhearted, we might be able to comfort them in any sort of trouble they have. The Greek word for comfort, paraklesis, literally means a calling to one's side. So if when needed, we are alongside our brothers and sisters, we'll be able to bring them the needed relief. And doubtless, we ourselves will be able to receive the comfort we need when we need it. It will become this big cycle. Jehovah comforts us. Then we ourselves comfort others. And then others come to us and comfort us. How encouraging. Another way we can show mercy is to continue to show is by giving to others with our self-sacrificing love. Let's remember that we have a lot to offer to others. We might be able to share a meal with someone. We might be able to help someone financially. We might be able to help run errands for brothers or sisters, or just to be there for them. Whatever we do, we know that our loving Father will be pleased with our self-sacrificing love. Jehovah has shown his mercy by fulfilling our spiritual need, and we can do the same by sharing the good news with as many people as we can, and by showing genuine interest in those that we are studying with. We can make it a goal not only to be preaching when we're out in service, but to try to make opportunities informally. Remember, our speech and our conduct can start a witness. But in order to be able to do so informally, we need to be prepared for those situations. So why not prepare different situation we can encounter during our family worship so the whole family can benefit and be prepared for it? To conclude, Jehovah has shown us mercy by forgiving us freely and caring very much for us. He has given us a line of communication with us, with prayer, and we can benefit from his word, the Bible. While reading the Bible, we'll see that God's wisdom is heartfelt and sensitive. Jesus has shown us that he has followed his Father's footsteps perfectly. And he has given us the example either by stories or by way he acted towards others on how to be merciful. And let's not forget his main focus on earth, how he focused on teaching others many things with his preaching work. So let's remember that being merciful, we ourselves have the sanctification of knowing that we are imitating our merciful Father.
Thank you very much, Brother Tabarish, for a fine talk. Great examples used, right? You know, real life, like David, the parable, you know, the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. So great how that reflects Jehovah's personality, right? And how we should act when it comes to mercy. So very well done. Thank you so much for that. So we invite everyone to stay for the Watchtower study. Just one reminder, though, that there will be a field service arrangement at noon. So just a reminder for that for those who